Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being with us today as we dig into 1 Corinthians 13. Many of us have heard the famous poem quoted about watching our thoughts, because our thoughts then become our words, and our words become our actions, our actions habits, our habits become our character, and our character becomes our destiny. But it all begins with our thoughts. And as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we see that love thinks no evil. So join in the conversation as we discover the subtleties of evil thinking. 1 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6 says that love does not behave rudely, seeks not her own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And when we read through these verses, Janie, for the most part, we can identify with rudeness, selfishness, and being provoked to anger. But when it comes to thinking evil, it's not as easy to identify with because we think evil as extreme and beyond anything that we're capable of.
Well, a lot of times even our media has shown us what evil is by the violence. And so we associate evil with violence many times. But actually, evil is anything that is other than Jesus Christ in the heavenly. It can be earthly, but it is an enemy of Jesus Christ. And so we need to recognize that we can fall into a evil way of thinking or entrapment when we just base all of our earthly values on here and now and earth.
Well, and there's also this little one-liner that you've given me that really has spoken to my life, and that is, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as though it's true, even though it's a lie. And just believing the lies can draw us into an evil way of thinking.
Sharon, that's a really good observation, and the subtlety of the lies is what I think causes us to wind up buying the lies as truth. Such as, do you realize that it's really evil when we feel sorry for ourselves?
I have never thought about feeling sorry for myself as being evil.
Well, when you hear the Word of God and what the Word of God says on the worth of what you are, that it necessitated His coming here and dying and getting you in right relationship, that is an insult to what He did on the cross when we get to feeling sorry for ourselves and focusing on ourselves because He said, you are more valuable to me than that.
Well, what about when we pout? I mean, I've been guilty of pouting in my relationship with my husband, for example. You know, he said something to hurt my feelings, or he did something that hurt my feelings, and then I go off and pout.
Well, we can have the PPs, the pitiful pride. We can also have
pity party.
Pity party, that's a good way to say it. Thank you. But pride's behind that.
Okay.
And pride is always at enmity or against the truth and the Word of God.
It's hard for me to associate a pouty pity party as being pride. How do we associate that? Because it seems like that is opposite of pride.
Well, we have in this culture, and it's in our educational systems as well as in our life, and it's called self-esteem.
Okay.
So we must feel good about ourselves. And the world has taught us that we do that apart from what Jesus Christ has said. So when you take something that the world has told you is necessary, self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
and many of our churches teach self-esteem.
Self-confidence.
Now, whether it's self-esteem or whether it is self-confidence, Sharon, we are a worthy being because of who we are in Jesus Christ. And we do need to have confidence, but the confidence doesn't need to be in my performance or my accomplishments or something I'm doing evil from my own knowledge.
Okay.
I need to know that really I must be, to be self-confident in Christ is to be dependent upon Him, knowing where my source truly is, and then I can be very confident.
So the confidence comes from being confident in the relationship with God, knowing God's voice, you know His character, you have conversations every day, you know Him. And that's the confidence, not in anything that I can do personally.
And one of the ways that I gained that is a study in the Word and sharing the promises that He's given. He's promised to be when you are frustrated and you realize you've done something wrong and you think, how am I going to correct it? He says, acknowledge it, I'll get it corrected.
Okay, so how does this go back to pouting?
Well,
so how does my pouting show my pride?
I think your pride is shown in pouting when someone doesn't agree with your wisdom, because you all think I'm doing everything right and you don't agree, whether it's actions, attitudes, and so you get upset.
Okay.
And the main thing is, pouting is dealing with you and yourself. Agape love is always dealing with others.
Okay.
So I don't get upset if I'm always putting out my heart for others, not demanding a proper response.
Right.
Okay. And when I don't get a proper response, then I pout.
Okay.
Or I withdraw.
Right.
Or I...
And that's an inward thing. So when we find ourselves pouting, the best thing to do would be to respond with agape love toward the person that has hurt your feelings, so to speak.
You know, Sharon, pouting can even go into a self-pitying role of feeling like a victim.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
All right, that's true.
And so we need to go back and say, do we always, when we have a conversation or a confrontation with another, is our heart always geared towards sacrificial love towards them? And if we don't sense that sacrificial love, then pouting or victimization is one of the natural consequences of our natural being.
Okay, so these are really just subtle ways that evil thinking infiltrates.
Yes, and one of the ways is almost like an accounting term. We love to keep account of somebody's past deeds. And so let's just say we have, I'm going to use siblings. I'm not going to pick on a marriage right now.
Okay.
But we have siblings, and I know that I've heard the phrase, even with cousins, well, you always make me blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so we keep account of past wrongs, and then we choose to avoid that person because we don't have a good track record, or we choose to get on their case to get them straightened out. But you know what? If we had truly forgiven and was operating in I want to serve you mode, we wouldn't go to keeping that accounting term. Some people, Sharon, probably have an Excel sheet that they have to have to do their spreadsheet right. on all of the past wrongs. And that is so harmful to somebody who may not realize that the way they have spoken or acted is from one of their own issues that has nothing to do with you, but you're taking it on personally.
Okay.
I know of one situation, just very quickly, where I went to somebody and said, you know, you seem to have distanced, and I'm wondering if I've done something wrong. And it was a good relationship. And they lovingly said, no, Janie, you're not that important in this situation. I'm not focused on you. I'm having problems in other places. So don't take it personal.
Right.
And a lot of times we do.
Okay.
But you know why? because we're centered on self.
Okay. So anytime we're centered on self, we can pretty much say that's pride.
Unless we're willing to do self-sacrifice and leave it all at the cross.
Well, you know, Janie, one of the things that I noticed in reading this verse of Scripture is that when it says that love thinks no evil, there's a semicolon, and then it says, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. That kind of enlightened me to understand that this thinks no evil is anything that is not truth.
Well, you've got a double. To me, those two go together.
Uh-huh.
You've got a negative, and then you've got a positive as a correction. And does it not explain then thinks no evil? Because you won't rejoice in iniquity, but you will rejoice in truth.
Right.
So that's the way you keep from falling into these subtleties. I think the thing we need to make people know today, and as we learned it ourselves, and that is evil is not evil necessarily the way the world portrays it. That is right. Violence. That is...
Well, and then also you have the picture of the devil with, you know, a pitchfork, and he's really ominous looking and scary looking, when the Bible says that he can make himself into an angel of light. And so we have these ideas of what evil looks like and these ideas of what evil thinking is. And evil can be just as subtle as the angel of light.
Well, how subtle it can be is we can give in to doubts, fears, phobias, a casualness towards sin.
Oh.
And we really like worldly enticements. We can have a very sharp, risque tongue that just likes to use words that they shouldn't. And you know what? One of the things I have seen recently is, saints, because I know who they are, just have a nasty disposition.
Mm.
Just always find something negative before they find the positive. And that basically, I think we would call a critical spirit.
Okay.
But before we jump too quick to discern or judge,
right,
we need to say what has happened to cause that disposition, that personality, that temperament to become so negative about everything. I can understand maybe getting negative about one person or one incident, but when it becomes almost a way of speaking and communicating, that's a trigger to let you know that evil is working in the very subtlety of which that person may have no awareness at all.
Well, do you think it has a lot to do with the way that the country is going now? Because I think that a lot of the turmoil that I see in Christians now is just from all of the, I want to say lies, but that's not really what I'm looking for. All of the
earthly
chaos. Mm-hmm. It's chaos. It's just, everything's in turmoil. Everything's upside down. And when we look at it, you know, the Bible said that in the last days, that good would be called evil and evil would be called good. And I mean, we're seeing that now more than ever, that evil is praised and called good and good's called evil. And some of us are sitting back just beating our heads going, what in the world?
Well, I think what we are experiencing nowadays is truth with a twist.
Okay.
So we hear some truth. It has facts. It has data. It has experience behind it. And then we get a twist as to why the things are that way. And then the next thing you know, we have a new truth that has facts and data and support, but it's got a twist that makes the former truth totally obsolete and irrelevant.
Well, I think it's that chaos and that hearing the evil called good and the good called evil that is really causing a lot of Christians to start to turn toward these nasty dispositions.
Well, and we get our balance off balance because as we look, I know in Proverbs 24, 17 and 18, it says, do not gloat when your enemy falls.
Mm.
When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice.
Right.
Or the Lord will see and disapprove and turn his wrath away from them. And I have had to catch myself, as well as I've heard a lot of other people, well, I'm so glad that they got defeated there. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at when someone stumbles and we're happy they stumbled. And we definitely see that in the politics of our former election. People were happy with the result of somebody who got put out of presidency. They were thrilled mm-hmm. that he had failed and they needed to do away with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a violation of Proverbs 24, 17, and 18 because it says, don't gloat.
Okay.
And
right.
So the world now is telling us that we can rejoice in our gloating because we've gotten rid of someone and some things that we don't want.
Right.
There's the subtlety of iniquity. There's
right.
the subtle of evilness.
Right. But, and then in Obadiah 1:12, it says, you should not have gloated when they took him far away to foreign lands. You should not have rejoiced in the day of his misfortune. You should not have mocked him in time of need. You yourselves went into the land of Israel in the day of his calamity and looted him. You yourselves rich at his expense.
So basically Obadiah is saying, if I can tear you down to build me up, if I can destroy you so that I can gain,
right.
then that's where the people were at that time. And we know that they went into bondage because of that kind of thinking. You know, Obadiah is a small little book, Sharon, but it's all about unforgiveness and pride over another person's calamity. It's kind of like we could say, well, you know what? They got what was coming to them.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Or we can even personalize it and we can plan on an individual basis to get even with that person on a particular situation.
And that's revenge.
And that's revenge.
The Lord said that's his to take care of.
That's his capacity.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because what we're talking about today is really the absence of agape love flowing through us. And we always have to remember, bottom line, everything that occurs to us, we need to be responding with, how can I serve? How can I cover? How can I give? How can I meet another person's needs? They may know they have the need, they may not. Then how does love express what could be offensive but needs to be said?
Well, and sometimes just being present, you know, present in the moment, present for being at church, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know, we hear a lot now about, well, I can learn lessons sitting on the couch in my PJs. And yes, absolutely, you can. But there is something about coming together and being present with each other to encourage each other. And I think that's really important for us today to look to see how we can encourage each other, whether that's a kind word, bearing up each other in prayer, taking on intercession, whatever those things may be that the Lord lays in your path as you're present.
Well, I like the word that you're using, and I don't know how far back you were in school when you had to have the roll call. She opened up her book and started calling off Susie Q and Gentle Ben and all of us, and we would answer either here or present.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what were we acknowledging when the teacher asked us for the accountability of saying that we were here or present? I have a couple of ideas of what it encompassed. We were saying we are here to report for why we were sent here. We are here because we were sent here to learn. We are agreeing to be ready to hear our assignments.
To listen and take notes and...
and give attention.
Participate and give attention. That's good, yeah.
Okay, so when we go into a church, a setting, Are we present to look in the eye of somebody and see how they're looking back at us? You know, the eyes are the window of a soul. And so I can look in somebody's eyes and see, are they sad? Are they maybe a little anxious? But you have to be present in your own heart, mm-hmm. seeking to see somebody else. Sometimes, Sharon, you can just tell by the way they walk or the way they stand if they are happy or if they have droopy shoulders. Now, I know we're being ultra practical today,
well,
but that's mm-hmm. what being in the presence is, a subtlety. It's not like I'm going to go to church and I'm going to find somebody and I'm going to...
Yeah, okay. Right. It's just about being there and being available. I'm available, Lord. Whatever you put my way, whatever you lead me to, whatever door you open, whose ever heart you lead me to talk to.
And, you know, if your heart's not right, then you're probably going to be trying to find a little back row seat or over to some side where nobody's going to bug you because you don't want to talk, because you don't want to communicate. And sometimes that person needs to have the wall torn down.
Yeah.
And then you have to be sensitive to know how to just give agape love, not expecting anything in return, but giving everything from your heart.
Right. And you know, it's amazing how much people can feel encouraged when we can just share love to them from God's heart to their heart. You know, even if they are walled up, many times, like you said, they need that wall torn down and they don't know how to tear it down. You know, they're just walled up because of situations and circumstances maybe that they're going through. And so, you know, when we can speak truth and rejoice in the truth of who Jesus Christ is, then Philippians 4:8 says, it seeks whatever things are true, are noble, are pure, lovely, of good report. And so even though we may see somebody, it may not even be at church, it may be at the store, it may mm-hmm. be, you mm-hmm. know, in our families at a gathering of some sort, that out of the goodness of who God is in us, that we extend some love and encouragement to them, and not our love, but God's love.
Our love usually will have limitations. Sharon, let's kind of wrap this up today with what I'm going to call the three C's.
Okay.
In Psalms 51:2, it says, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So the first thing we need to do when we do not have that peace that passes understanding that lives in us, uh-huh. but something shuts it down and hinders it,
right.
then the first thing is just remember Psalms 51:2. We need confession.
Okay.
Okay, and then after the confession, we need to then get what we need as the correctness of cleansing, and that would be Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword and is a discerner of a heart intents. It's our safety manual for not entertaining twisting truth.
Oh, that's good.
And then the third one we need to do, Sharon, is we need to have the caring. And the caring really can come from 1 Peter 4:8, where it says, love covers a multitude of mm-hmm. sins. So we have confession, we have cleansing, we have caring, and that will result in covering one another's lacks, whether it's our own or it's someone else's, because the Lord takes care of all of us, and we need to find out how we can show that to one another.
Oh, that is so good, Janie. That really speaks deeply to my heart.
And if we can just remember confession, cleansing, caring, and covering, our hearts will not be geared towards self.
Amen. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.